B-Pod Studios.
From the Los Angeles Convention Center in Los Angeles, California, it's Felger and Maz live on Radio Row. Presented by your New England Honda dealers and Safety Insurance. Also brought to you by PropSwap, Win Waste Innovations, Globalization Partners, and Apex Entertainment. Now from Los Angeles, here are Felger and Maz.
Marchand a shot, and Jari again. Did he get it with the glove or the leg? And then Jari has something to say to Marchand, who takes a right hand and swings at him.
Well, that stems back from the end of the second period.
Marchand.
Yeah, Marchand's got to be careful here. He got the stick up in Jari's face.
He just smacked him right in the mask.
I don't know if he touched him or not, but it all stems back to that second period. He just made a couple of great saves again here. Bruins whacking away at this puck. Marchand had a chance, and Jari made that save as well. And he said something to him. Yeah, he started chirping at Marchand. Marchand came right in and gave him a punch to the head.
I mean this in every sense. What the hell happened? What happened last night? And I mean it for Marchand. We'll get to me in a second. Seriously, because I'm just kind of waking up. I have not had a chance to check. I just saw the clips last night. Why did he do that? Does anyone know? Does anyone have an answer?
No, it was like old school Marchand losing his mind. Like
No, there's nothing online. Like, why did he do that?
Oh, not that I've seen.
No, I think he just lost his mind. Look, I think it was a frustrating night for them, appropriately. And, you know, they outshot the Penguins. They had a 2-0 lead. They gave up 3 goals in the second period. All of that. And I think, you know, then Bergeron obviously got knocked out of the game.
But nothing beyond that.
No, but I think he
did
just...
Did Jari do anything?
No.
Beers just said... This stems back to the end of the second period. What happened at the end of the second period?
Tristan Jarry tried to give a puck to a fan.
Oh, right.
Okay, that I saw too.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Like, right. I don't know.
No, honestly, someone tell me, why did he do that?
I think he just lost it. I think he lost it. I think it's like...
To punch a guy in the back of the head.
Yeah, I think that's, as Murray said, it's old school Marchand losing his mind.
For no reason.
Yep.
Like, you don't get to give pucks to our fans in our building. He just came by and slapped it down, and maybe they started jawing. They were definitely jawing at each other. I'm watching the clip now, too.
Okay, so what? He chirped him? That's it? Said something about his mother? His wife? His kids? I don't know. Hey, Hanrahan! Were you doing that thing? Know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, of course I know what you're talking about.
Elaine, so you know what I'm talking about. What was Jari doing?
I don't know.
Why did he do that? Honestly, why did he do that?
I don't know. I would love for someone to explain to you. This is the most alarming part of the whole thing. It wasn't like what?
Why
what?
Did he do that?
He's totally regressed.
Someone tell me.
Totally regressed.
Email, text.
Well, we'll get into this. Maybe he's feeling the stress of losing his buddy because now Tuukka Rask is basically saying, hey, the comeback is over. I'm done here. He had a frustrating day.
That's pathetic. That's pathetic. Like, you really can't help yourself, dude? Like, you just can't help yourself. Did Cassie say sound? Did Cassie say something about it last night? Stu, let's hear that. Hopefully it's a long, long cut. Just give me the whole press conference.
A 4-minute clip.
I don't know. That happened quick. Lack of discipline, obviously, on Brad's part in that situation because I just watched the replay at the end. It looks like some words were exchanged. I don't know if there was an incident at the end of the second period that precipitated. I was in the room, so I don't know. Someone said that. Still, we got to have better discipline. At the end of the day, Brad's a leader in our team, and he needs to control his emotions in that situation.
Okay, yeah. Well, what happened at the end of the second period? He tried to give a fan a puck. I honestly don't get it. I did just wake up. I have not read anything. Someone tell me why he did that. Overall state of the Bruins feels horrible. So Bergeron got a concussion.
Yep.
And Rask hung him up. That's the only good news. How'd they play? Did Swayman give up 3 goals on whatever? 18 shots, I think it was.
Yeah, so again, the first one, Heinen get in on a break. Well, not a break. It was a 2-on-1 and got a clean shot, and Dieckmann scored. You know.
Heinen scored 2 goals. So Heinen scores 2 goals.
Oh, the second one
quietly.
Was brutal.
That effing guy
was brutal.
Wakes up. It was a bad goal.
Yes, absolutely. Hit him and hit Swayman and kind of started rolling up over his shoulder, and then he turned because it was getting away from him, and he knocked it in the net. So I love that goal.
My worry is that the thing, one of you just said this, that they got off to a bad start this year, right? To the whole arc of the season. sleepwalking through the year. Turns out Rask is coming back. They hear Rask is coming back. They wake up. You know, okay, Tukes is coming back. And they, you know, put together a good month, couple weeks. Now they realize Tukes is done. And it's like, oh, well, this season ain't anything. We're not doing anything. And they go back in the tank.
I mean, that's what it feels like. Like, I wonder if it's all connected. That, you know, because Tuca's out, now the bad news. And, like, I think I said to you, maybe the good news of the whole Tuca thing coming into an end is, okay, well, we exhausted it. We played it out. And now we just got to play hockey. And it's not there anymore. But that didn't look like that last night.
Someone tell me what Jari did. Seriously.
So now there's another clip, apparently, before that that puck. You know, he tried to give the puck to the fan. He speared. It's not a very good clip, but something happened where Jari also speared someone, and it didn't get called.
Like, speared or what?
Gamesmanship,
so,
looks like.
So Marchand's got an in-person hearing. That means it's at least five games.
He slashed Coyle in the stomach, and there was no call.
Why did Coyle do something? Big ninny. All right.
I hate that Maz is this vibrant, by the way.
617-779-0985. We'll start with the Bruins. What happened last night, Murray? What happened last night?
With us?
Yes.
Our old friend and former co-worker at 98.5 The Sports Hub, Julie Russell, who's like the queen out here, just let it rip. She took us to places that we had no business being in. She buried us with shots. I don't feel great. I usually don't partake in the edibles. I just try to poison you with them. But I was like, what the hell? I'll roll the dice tonight. And yeah, not great. I am not equipped to take those. I knew that deep down. Even the smaller milligram ones I figured weren't going to be a problem. But we were sitting before you even showed up to that Laker game. I was sitting there. I was like, oh, no. And it hits you like a ton of bricks. Oh, you have to go low and slow. All of a sudden it hits you. And I was like, oh, I'm in real trouble. And so the only way to try to get myself out of that vortex was to keep drinking.
Okay, why'd you let me go on my own? The Wood, who's out here.
What do you mean, let you go on your own?
The Wood said I'm not allowed to tell you where I woke up or how I woke up.
I've been told off the air.
I'm not allowed to tell you. I'll tell you off the air.
Did you get back to your hotel?
Yes.
Ish?
This morning. Yes.
Like sunshine
yes.
morning?
And then the next thing I know, she's, you know, shaking my shoulder, says, don't you have a show? Don't you have to get up? And it's 10:15 or something or whatever. Oh, you asshole. Seriously. It's just so ridiculous. I'm a grown-ass man.
And by the way, for the viewing
audience. Grown-ass professional man.
The viewing audience.
With a real job.
On NBC Sports Boston, yes, I'm wearing the same clothes as yesterday. I don't care.
Okay.
No, Murray is going economy on the clothes. Yeah.
So I do want to talk Bruins. I am worried about them. Celtics rolled again. I didn't see one thing about it. The trade deadline's tomorrow. They're going to trade somebody, don't you think?
Yes.
And just, you know, I'll give you a minute on I'll give you a Lakers minute because we were there last night. I just have thoughts. Like, boy, is it obvious when your team gives up?
Yep.
When your team just doesn't give a crap. And that, boy, is that the Lakers. Like, they don't give a crap. I
mean, it's zero effort defensively.
It
None.
Comes down to that and some of those rebounds, and it's like it's so glaringly obvious when an NBA team checks out. Like, you can just tell. And it's that team. And so what happened there? Like, just between LeBron and Anthony Davis, that's a team in the modern-day NBA. That should be a team.
Davis is a problem.
And they've all given up.
Like, Davis is a
problem. Explain to me how that happens. How does that happen?
Yeah, look, you know, I thought that was humiliating. Murray, we looked up about halfway through the third quarter.
There were,
and
the
Bucks had 100 points, basically.
And the Bucks were shooting at 67% at one point?
I checked. At one point, I said to Murray, they're not missing. They don't miss. And I looked it up, and they had made almost 70% of their shots, which tells you what kind of defense the Lakers were playing.
So,
and then on top of that, you know, the Lakers just quit.
Quit? And so it's night and day. Your team, the Celtics, you know, they've somehow pulled themselves out of it. And I'm still not buying. I need to see them after the trade deadline, after the All-Star break. I've told you that.
But the juxtaposition for how the Lakers are playing right now to the Celtics is night and day.
Because
the Celtics have been like that before. We've all seen it.
Absolutely.
But
I would not
like that right now.
I would not poo-poo what the Celtics are doing. Because it's so easy just to flip a switch and say, that's it. You know, this season ain't anything. We're not doing anything. I mean, Murray, we were laughing about it. The most life I saw to LeBron is coming out of a timeout. He came down to the Bucks end and was standing near the sideline with the Bucks players, joshing and laughing with Giannis and his brother. And Murray and I were filling in the quote bubble. Yo, man, where are we going to Pound Town tonight? What you got? What you got? Like they were lining up their ass tonight. It was so obvious they were lining up what they were doing tonight, and getting it all lined up. And then the game started, and it is insane what that Lakers team is. That to me meant more than the Bucks. Here's 30 seconds on the Bucks. It helps to like your team, folks. It helps. I like that basketball team.
We can tell.
I heart Bobby Portis. I heart him. I love that dude. And I sausage emoji Giannis. you know you like your team.
Eggplant.
When you're cheering for like him making his free throws, that was a highlight of the night. I'm not even joking. It was all downhill. He made three or four free throws that I saw, and I that stuck with me. It's like I'm a Packer fan, but I despise Aaron Rodgers. Right? I hate watching him. And when they lose, it's almost like half of me has a little sense of satisfaction. Like, good, lose again, you freaking a-hole. But when you like your team and you like your players, it's a whole different thing. It's rare. It's been a long time since I've liked a team, and I like that Bucks team. They're not a-holes. Yeah, likable guys.
Well, Grayson Allen.
Grayson Allen can get the F off my team. Grayson Allen can get the hell off my team. That's Marchand, so that ties it all together. Dad, I was going to mention that before. That's Marchand. He can't help himself. What did he do? Why did he do it? Is there a story out there? And I don't care what Jari said. Who cares about what he said? It's just chirping. You just cost yourself five games with Bergeron out, and now two. It's like,
so Ty Anderson just texted us and said, "Tell them they were talking crap each other all game. What's really interesting is that not a single Penguin came in to defend the goalie. Jari also brushed it off as a heat of the moment. I think this man said something big trash. Jari also speared Coyle about 2 seconds before Marchand.
Where with the spearing Coyle thing?
It was trash talk, and Marchand was just on one.
Oh well, that's great.
That's all it was.
That's great. You know, take seven games off. That's great, because you don't like how he was chirping you. To your calls right after this. Felger and Maz, all this week, presented by your New England Honda dealers and Safety Insurance. Our 2 p.m. sponsor is Prop Swap. You know the number. You're lined up. We'll talk to you right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Come.
From the Los Angeles Convention Center in Los Angeles, it's Felger and Maz on Radio Row, presented by your New England Honda dealers on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
No, I think that's for Tuca to comment on his stature. I was told he wouldn't practice this week. I don't think that's changing at all. So if he has something to say, I think I'll leave it to him.
So at least that's over, I think. Like, that's one bright side. Enough. Love you, Mina Tukes. Bio con Dios. Go with God. Have a great life. You get out, you know, good time. Goodbye. But the bad news is that the rest of the team look at that and go, well, that's the season. And if they think that way, isn't that annoying?
Yes.
Like, why is it the season? He's not even that good. I mean, like, come on. Don't tell me that, but do tell me what the hell Jari did or said. And whatever he did or said, is there any justification for that? Is there any justification for all you Marchand defenders, every time he does something like this and he hurts a guy. Now, I just saw clips briefly on the phone.
Of the spear?
Jari wasn't hurt. No, the spear. I'm talking about the
punch.
The punch to Jari.
And then the thing.
Oh, he's fine.
Yeah, he flopped, right?
Yes, he's not hurt.
Yeah, he's not hurt.
No, but it was still an idiotic play. And look, you can tell if you listen to the play-by-play. I did get up, I woke up a little earlier than you. So I did go and look at the highlights. And Marchand lost his mind. And you can tell, I hadn't heard the play-by-play until we played it with Beers earlier. And Beers says, well, Marchand's got to watch out here. He's telling you right then and there, the guy's losing his mind.
Ridiculous.
And then what's the thing with sticking your stick in the goalie's face on the way out? What are you, just an a-hole?
So defend it. Defend it. Because you always defend Marchand. Defend this one. Jason and Easton, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I've never seen a team that can give me so much hope and make me feel so depressed so quickly.
Yep.
As this team, they came out like gangbusters. They looked great in the first period, scoring goals, making plays through the neutral zone. And then as soon as they gave up that first goal in the second period, they just melted. And it's just disheartening to see. And as far as Marchand goes, it's kind of like, you know, dude, take the temperature of the room. Like, your captain's obviously going to miss multiple games. Like, you're that much more important with Bergeron out. Like, what are you doing?
What are you doing? It's their best player. I think he's their best player by far, frankly. And now the season's sort of at a crossroads. And you're going to go and do that?
I think Cassidy's pissed at him. I think you can tell by the comment. I think they're pissed.
Cost yourself, I mean, it's at least five.
And they should be pissed.
For what? Kevin in New Hampshire, go.
Hey, you guys obviously didn't see the play last night with Marchand. So in the second period, he flipped the puck off the goalie stick. And then after that, one of the Pittsburgh players gave him a little spear while he was going off the rink, so that was an eye for an eye. I felt it was over. And then late in the game, what you didn't see, obviously, you're minimizing the spear that the goalie did on Coyle. He caught him real good in the midsection.
Marchand was justified? Marchand was justified?
He went overboard. Marchand went a little overboard.
A little.
He could have caught him one time. He could have the little hit in the face that the goalie flopped on.
Kevin in Boston. Why did Marchand care about him flipping the puck into the stands? I mean, what are we talking about here?
No, listen, you can't defend this. There is no defending it.
What did he care that he flipped the puck into the stands?
You want to tell me you want him? He shouldn't have cared.
Was there Instagram ass model in there, Murray? Like, what's going on?
I don't know.
What's going on there?
We're the only ones that give free pucks to our fans. Don't you dare try to do that. It's stupid. There's no justification for it.
It's weird. Who gives a rat's ass if he's flipping the puck into the stands? Joe in Vermont, go.
Yeah, this is getting really scary because I would have considered Marchand like the balls of our team. Like you said, he's the best player. And if you have the heartbeat in Bergeron going down and like he smashed his head, so like I think you even said, you know he's going to be out for a little bit. This is irrevocably irresponsible of Marchand. Like the punch was one thing that he got 2 minutes for roughing or whatever on that. Yep. They gave him a five-minute match major for intending to hurt somebody. I think that's a little overboard. But if you're Marchand, you know the refs are looking at you. You've got to be the alternate captain on your sweater.
Absolutely. Good point. Bergeron's out. You're the captain. And it's so ticky-tack. I mean, it wasn't even that hard of a punch. And the little stick thing is just... But it's... You're in the spotlight. You're center stage. Like, what, you think someone's not going to see that? Or what? What goes through your head? And so the answer is nothing goes through his head. It's like an impulse. It's like a tick. Grayson Allen can't help themselves. He can't help himself. And did you think he was kind of past it? You know, the last year, he has been pretty good. But you know what? Didn't you see sort of things creeping this season?
Yes, it started early in the year with that slew foot. You get a suspension then, if you remember.
Yeah.
I mean, that was five games too, wasn't it? Or was it three?
It was three.
But whatever it was. So something's he's unraveling this year. Why? Is it because Bergeron's leaving? Is that it? Or like the whole thing, he's or they broke up the first line, or a combination of all these factors, or what? But he's losing it. He's coming unraveled.
Ricky in Manchester. Winchester. Go ahead, Ricky.
Yeah, it's every time with this team. They look good for a stretch. They look good at the beginning of last night. And then as soon as Tukes throws in the towel, everything goes to the crap. Swayman looks like wet toilet paper. Danton, yeah, the quiet one. Heinen scores two goals.
Danton.
And then we lose the game, and then Bergeron gets hurt, so he's going to retire. And then Marchand goes back to being the rat, and he's going to get the sussy for five games plus. The sky is falling. You got to help.
The sky is falling. I'll cut you off. It has that feel. It has that feel.
Oh, look, they're coming apart. And the word that everyone should be using on Marchand is selfish. All this crap's going down, and he decides to take this blade of his stick and stick it up someone's nose. So all of a sudden, here you go.
Matt, New Bedford, hi.
Guys, Matt particularly, I couldn't agree with you more. It was completely selfish of what Brad Marchand did.
I do disagree that you guys think it's a Tuca thing on why they unraveled that game last night. I think they just realized the Penguins were better and they gave up. It's not good. It's certainly, you know, not how I want the team to respond. But I don't think that was particularly a Tuca symptom. I think it was just they're better than us and, we got to pass.
Pittsburgh's not that much better than you. Wait, Malkin was out, right? Did Letang play? I mean, I don't know. Crosby, Letang, that's pretty good. I don't think they're better than you. I think you're comparable, fully loaded. So, I mean, fine. You get frustrated in a game. It's one game. It's one game coming out of the All-Star break. So what? So you drop the game. That necessitates you punching the guy in the back of the head and sticking the stick up his helmet for a 6-7-game suspension?
I mean, the other thing, too, not that you don't know this, their defense blows. It blows. They are so soft in front of their own net. And again, I saw highlights, okay, for obvious reasons. But the goals, there's four Penguins in front of the net. They don't push anybody out of there. They're soft. They are soft in their own zone.
Kyle and Lynn, go ahead, please.
Yeah, so the season feels like it's a bit off the rails right now, but how do we feel about, you know, the trade deadline, going out getting Claude Giroux and, like, Mark Giordano or John Klingberg from Dallas, something like that, just to try and salvage the season?
Love all those guys. You can't afford all that. I don't know if you can afford one of them. I don't know if I want them. Do you want them to trade a first-round pick for Claude Giroux?
Right now I'm leaning no.
I mean, I know.
Like so they're talking about the deal with JT Miller in Vancouver being Fabian Lizelle. You're sending him. You just took him in the first round.
And I say yes. I don't trust them to use the picks correctly.
Okay, so Murray,
it feels like this is maybe the last little bit of the window being open. So what the hell? I said invest a month or so ago.
And Murray, I get the logic. But what are you going to do? Like, suck at the draft and trade away first-round picks all the time? It's over.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, it's over. It's just, if you do that, forget it.
Even though they suck at drafting, you can't do that thing about, well, they'll just blow the pick anyway, so trade it. You got to keep picking, and you got to hope that you turn it around. Like, that's just, you can't not draft. And so, I don't know. I don't know if I don't want a first-round pick for a rental and Claude Giroux. Doesn't T.J. Miller have a term? Doesn't he have?
Yeah, he'll have one more year after this one.
So, like, that's a little more palatable to me. So I'll give up a piece for that. I mean, I know they ain't going to sell. I know they're not going to go in the other direction. They're in the playoffs. They want their playoff revenue. They want home dates. So if you're not going to sell, you might as well buy. But I'm not giving up draft picks. Or Lysa, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Can you get someone to bite on DeBrusque or Coyle or some of those pieces? Fine. But I'm not giving up draft picks. Dave in the car, what do you got for us today?
Dave!
Okay, his comment line said Felger today.
You do have a look about
as bad as it's ever been.
I mean, to start the show, your eyes were barely open.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Seriously.
Yeah,
you little acupuncture holes in your face.
Pathetic.
You know, I went out for a cup of coffee this morning. Like, you know, I didn't get a lot of sleep either, Murray, but compared to you guys, I'm sleeping beauty. So I went out for a cup of coffee early this morning. I think I may have passed Felger on the sidewalk. He was curled up in a ball.
The way your wife looks at you, like the way the wood, she yowl,
it was a
you know.
Look of disgust.
She just, she said, you can't tell people how you woke up. You're not allowed to do that. And it just wasn't like, you know.
She's so proud of you today.
No, exactly. Wasn't angry, didn't yell. It's just like, please leave the room. I can't look at you. Like, disappointed / you know, pity. You know, she showed pity. Like, this guy's pathetic. Leave.
No, I think you had it right the first time. Disappointed.
Here's an update.
I think she probably used a much stronger word.
Update from Big Jim Murray. We're back right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
From the Los Angeles Convention Center in Los Angeles, it's Felger and Mass on Radio Row, presented by Safety Insurance on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This hour of the program brought to you by Prop Swap, Felger and Mass, LA Convention Center. Give me a Celtics minute. Stu, they going to trade anybody? They going to do anything?
I think now they're in the market for a shooter. And before that, I thought that they were going to try to dip under the tax and sell off a young player or sell off Josh Richardson. Now I think they're going to add.
Because they're buying. They're buying their team. They're buying their chances. I think they should.
Yeah, look, I find them intriguing right now. I was saying this to Murray. They're playing well. They're playing garbage teams, and they're catching a lot of breaks with personnel on the other side and stuff like that. But they're playing well. Last night, like, the whole sort of script flipped. And when I say that, I mean Marcus Smart took 13 three-pointers last night, made six of them. Jaylen Brown had 8 or 9 assists. Like, Jason Tatum only took 11
Smart
shots.
Took 13 three-pointers?
13 threes.
So that's a bad
news. Yeah, that's not
bad
good.
Bad news.
I agree, but he made them. Okay. Meanwhile, Jaylen Brown became more of the facilitator, and Tatum took 11 shots, and they still obliterated the Nets. Now, look, the Nets suck right now. So, like, I don't want to get – I just think that the responsibilities changed, but they kept playing well. They didn't get thrown off by it. Mm-hmm. Nobody was pissed off because Smart was shooting the ball too much, and Brown was happily passing it to him. In fact, multiple times Smart was open on the wing in the corner, really, and Brown had the ball out top, flipped it over to him. Smart made the three.
It also feels like that the way that they've played, they could sell high on some of these guys if they were to try to move Dennis Schroeder or Josh Richardson or even Marcus Smart for the way that he's played over the last 2-3 weeks.
I'm playing for this year. I am. If I'm the Celtics, if I'm Brad Stevens, if I'm Wick. And that is, you know, even saying they're not a championship team, they might not be a championship team. But what if you go on a run and, you know, it's been 2 years since anyone's felt good about this team. Mm-hmm. And they felt good about themselves. They need that.
Yes.
They need a run. And I think, you know, this to me is the biggest thing with the team. We talk about this a lot. The clock's ticking on Brown and Tatum. If you don't turn it around, they're going to leave. They're going to leave because everyone leaves in that league. That's just the way it is. It's going to break up.
Just looking at this Eastern Conference, numerically, 5.5 games are between the 1 and the 8 seed. You get Miami gets knocked off. Maybe the Bucks get knocked off by somebody. There's a chance you could see yourself in the NBA Finals.
I don't even think that's that ridiculous.
Given the state of the East,
it's not ridiculous.
I mean, look, I'd pick Miami over you in a 7-game series.
I'd still take the Bucks.
And I'd grudgingly pick the Bucks. But I think that's it. That's it. Again, if you're playing to your full potential. And, you know, I feel like I'm consistent on this. The reason we've ripped them so bad is because they've played so bad. Like, that. What has made the Celtics such a story to me is how they can't get their act together because they are talented. If their roster stunk, if they didn't have any good players, let's see if I can not vomit here. If they had no good players, they say, well, whatever, they're an afterthought. That's not a story. A bad roster with a middling record, no story. They got two, you know, all-stars. I know Brown didn't make it, but, you know, follow me. Like, they got, if most games they go into, they're going to have the two best players on the floor. It's like, no, you should be much better than you are. And so now, finally, it's clicked. And if I'm them, I'm not selling. I'm trying to win a couple rounds. I'm trying to get some momentum. I'm trying to get everybody up. I'm trying to get Brown and Tatum feeling good about themselves, this team, the direction, the whole thing. I think you need it. I think you desperately need it. Because, again, the clock is ticking on those guys. If you remain one of these NIT teams, those that, you know, that play-in tournament kind of team, they're gone. They're going to leave.
So standing pat's not even that bad of a thing, considering how
correct.
They're playing.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't think it is.
No.
The
correct.
Only thing that people should be really pissed about is if they try to make a move to get under the stupid tax. Like, that's the thing that's – it's offensive if they were to do that at this point.
So we're talking last night on TV. Prospective trade – Schroeder to the Bucks for DiVincenzo, who you saw last night. And the Bucks asked for Grant Williams on top of it. So Schroeder and Grant Williams for DiVincenzo. Do you do that?
Too much.
I agree.
Is DiVincenzo always that lazy defensively?
Yes. Yeah. Sucks defensively.
I think I'm good.
Sucks.
You don't make that move.
Isn't there Schroeder more upside can be with your ass. Bucks player whose name I can't pronounce and won't try to pronounce?
You mean DiVincenzo?
Yes.
Yes, I think there is. Like, I think he could be a really good
player. So Grant Williams is going to prevent you from making a trade for a rental?
Yeah, it's a toss-up. It's a toss-up. As a Bucks fan, I want Grant Williams. I want to park his big butt in the corner and just shoot the three because that'll be there for him on our team.
Yeah.
Like, just like I like him there. I don't like him for anything else, but I like that ask. I like that ask on the part of the Bucks. Give me Williams, too.
Yeah, I think I would try to move Schroeder if I'm the Celtics. I think he's a negative. And I don't know. Maybe the stamp pad will be a do-nothing, but Schroeder to me feels like a guy you got to get out of there. I think that guy's in a problem waiting to happen.
The Celtics are probably going to make some move that's going to be a no-name shooter who hopefully will help them. But they should be adding here. They should be adding. The East is open for them.
And DiVincenzo's a good fit, I meant to say. He can shoot the three. He's shooting poorly this year. I think he's like 32% behind the line. But he got hurt. He came back late. And a lot of his minutes and shots were taken by Bobby Portis, who I heart Bobby Portis. I love that dude. And he's taking shots away from so he'd be a good fit here. He'd stand on the line and he'd hit. And he's got this flair. He's like sneaky athletic. And he's got this flair to his game. Like, he'd be a good fit. Oh, the Celtics fans would go nuts for him. You'd love him. Inside of 2 weeks, it's like, yeah, we can't trade DiVincenzo.
It'd better
be like
Pritchard.
It'd be the next guy. Yeah, believe me.
Yeah, he was born to play here.
There's your Celtics minute. Here's Charlie in Mansfield. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I got two things. Number one, Felge and Big Jim, just keep doing it until you get it right. The other thing is, the best part of that Lakers game last night was when LeBron drove the basket, got the dunk, and then went over to the ref and started crying, and he put a tee on him, and I was like, this is the best game ever.
So I missed that part of it.
You weren't in the building yet, yeah. He dunked. He was waiting for an and one. Just was screaming at the ref. The ref was like, I'm not having it. I'm teeing you up in your own building. And, of course, all the babies here lost their minds. It was great. It was maybe the best moment of the game.
I loved every second of it. You prima donna, star of the league, gets every call he wants, you know, usually, and didn't get it and flipped out and lost his mind. They blow. The Lakers blow.
They quit.
And Anthony Davis, I'm telling you, is a problem.
Oh, is he soft?
He is so effing soft. He should be playing for the Bruins. He's so soft.
Seriously. I'm sorry to you. Bobby Portis. Watch the way he plays and the way Anthony Davis plays. It's just the force with which they play with. It is incredible to me how the Lakers just give up. I don't get it. I don't get how a team does that. And it's like Westbrook's the problem? It's like he's brought them all down because he's such a basket case and getting a bench last night. So, okay, I get that. I don't know. LeBron and Anthony Davis should be better than the Bucks.
I mean, alone, they should get 50 wins.
I mean,
those two guys. Those two and us three, with you two in the shape you're in. And they should be able to win 50 games.
Chet is in Somerville. Hi, Chet.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, you know, the Celtics are right there. This thing's wide open, and it's kind of frustrating because earlier in the year when they were losing to the bad teams, that's the difference between you and a top two seed right now. I think they should stand pat. I wouldn't mind flipping Schroeder for DiVincenzo. I like DiVincenzo. He played well the last 2 years before he got hurt. I think he could trend in that direction.
Me, totally. You know, I said again last night, TV, that I think DiVincenzo's better than Schroeder. And I immediately got shot down. So, okay, maybe he's not. I think he's got a higher ceiling and younger, if, you know, that matters, and more willing to sort of play a role. Like, Schroeder is an issue. He's playing for his next contract, and you know he's just a mercenary. Like,
and plus, he's taking shots at the end of the games and falling in love with his shot at times, too. Where was that 40-point game he had, like, 2 months into the season? And after that, it's like, okay, dude, like, you're not this big part of the offense.
I think you'd get more out of DiVincenzo than you do Schroeder. The Williams thing on top of it is too much. And I only want Grant Williams for one thing, but...
I mean, Grant Williams is holding you up for making a deal? Come on.
I know.
Schroeder's leaving. Schroeder is going to be on another team next year, no, so look at it differently. Take Schroeder out of the equation, and it's Grant Williams for your guy.
You get in the playoffs, and Grant Williams stands in the corner and makes 2 3-pointers in a fourth quarter of a playoff game. I mean, you know, like, those guys are valuable. I would say every team has one, but most teams have a guy that just stands in the corner and makes the corner three.
You can find another Grant Williams.
All right, 617-779-0985.
Grant Williams is holding you up for making a deal. How stupid is that?
Okay, we're gonna assess how stupid that is, folks, with your calls in our long commercial-free segment. Now,
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hooray for Hollywood.
That's Screwy Barry. It's the week La La Land gets a little more La-La. Felger and Maz are live on Radio Row from Los Angeles. Presented by your New England Honda dealers on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Peyton Pritchard will have to dribble across half court. And the Boston Celtics will sweep the road trip. They will score back-to-back 30-point wins. They will get their sixth win of the year. And after trailing the Brooklyn Nets by 8.5 games on December 30th, the Celtics will wake up tomorrow morning ahead of them in the Eastern Conference standings. Blowout start to finish. The final score, Boston 126, Brooklyn 91.
Call last night, Sean Grady. ROR 105.7 here on Felger and Maz. We're back at the Super Bowl LA Convention Center. I've got a really good contest and giveaway for you coming up. I'll give you the details here coming up in a few minutes, but it's like legit, super legit. So you want to listen into that if you like free stuff. But back to the phones. Here's let's do Al in Quincy on the Celtics. Hi, Al.
Hey guys, hope you're enjoying LA. I just have a thought on the trade deadline. I just have a feeling that we're going to see a thing where we maybe move Schroeder to get under that tax threshold, because that seems to be the popular thing. And I wouldn't be surprised if we just try to rely on the veteran buyout market. Sounds like a guy like Garrett Harris from Orlando might be available. I think he'd be a good fit. But
okay,
so when I look across the NBA, it doesn't sound like there's a lot of like 3-and-D guys available for the second unit who's going to be out there. So I wouldn't be surprised if, as usual, it's going to be a more quiet deadline, and that's what we end up doing.
And you're okay with it? Like Celtics fan, just fine. Just give me a buyout market guy. Celtics fans are so easy to please.
They are. They're unbelievably easy to please.
That's the Celtics fan experience. But how do Tatum and Brown feel about it? That's the most important thing here. So that's the risk of trying to get under this stupid tax. I get as an organization why they'd want to do this. But even if they like Schroeder and they move him just to get under the stupid tax, if those two are pissed about it, well, you've undermined the whole thing.
Okay, do you get it? Because Jimmy, you can help me. I never thought the tax, well, you know, in baseball we talk about it all the time that you lose international signing money, or like we know the ramifications in baseball. Is it really that bad to be in the tax in basketball? What does it prevent you from doing?
It depends on which level of tax it is. I don't think it's that bad, but my hope is that if they are moving players, moving salary to get under the tax for this year, that they already know that they've got somebody big coming in the offseason that's going to take them into like the level 3 super max tax.
I just don't get why. Someone's got to explain it to me.
Does this upset that stupid apron? Remember the?
No. So the apron's like a hard money deal. Like the actual cash that you spend. Like, yeah, there's all. I mean, who gets it? No one understands the effing NBA salary cap. But I've never heard the tax being talked about in such terms until this year with the Celtics. They must be putting that out there. Like, oh, we can't be in the tax. Oh, it's much better for us to be a non-tax-paying team. And, oh, you really hurt yourself if you're – I feel like it's a campaign.
Well, look, they're probably still trying to cut losses, right? And when I say that, I mean, you know, with COVID and everything else, and I don't think they were selling tickets over there for a while.
All right. Meanwhile, what the hell –
talking this season now.
What the hell was Brad Marchand doing last night? Shukri in Brookline. What do you think, Shukri?
Listen, I got to be the bearer of bad news to Bruin fans out there. But last night was a pretty good indication if Bergeron is gone after this season, your leadership core for the Boston Bruins is screwed. Because I am sorry, if there's one thing that really made me angry about last night's loss was the fact that after Bergeron goes down with the injury, you expect Marchand, the guy who is one of your leaders on the team, to step up and act like a leader on the team. Instead, what does he do? He goes out and acts like a complete moron. Like, what was that whole thing about between him and Tristan Jarry? Like, seriously, the focus and your priority at that moment in time is after the team blows a 2-0 lead, focus on playing your game, focus on trying to get yourself back into the game, and not get into a stupid shoving match between Tristan Jarry, and then now suddenly you're going to be going for at least minimum 5 games. And, oh, by the way, your offense that struggled last night, yeah, that you can pretty much predict like a slump that's going to be coming for the Boston Bruins in the next coming games.
Well, you said it, Shuki. The thing, you know, it's their best player and now their captain. With Bergeron out, he's your got the A, but he's the captain, and you do that. Like, there's, I mean, that is just ridiculous. And I still got to know. I still just want to know. And Marchand should tell us. Because he has to defend himself. He's got to explain for what he did. So he's got to come out and say, yeah, Jari mentioned my mother or my wife or my kids.
Okay, but does that validate?
No, of course not. But he's got to say something. There's got to be an explanation for that.
Yeah, so what he could say is there is no explanation for it. I effed up. That's what I want to hear, because there is no explanation for it.
He's just wired different. He's a bit of a nut. That's still inside him. You mentioned Grayson Allen. Guys like this have it. They're like traumatized dogs, like something could just set them off.
Brian in Abington. Go ahead, Brian.
I don't know if you guys watch a lot of hockey around the league, but I do as well. And the Bruins aren't close anyways. If you watch the Panthers, the Rangers, I know we played the Avalanche type, but McKinnon was out most of that game. A couple other teams I'm not thinking of, they have a different speed than us. They're like a leg up in a gear, and they create opportunities to score at such a rate, you can't keep up with those guys. So we need to go full L.A. Rams mode in order to even contend in the playoffs. And Murray, I was curious, how'd you like that Harvard win in the bean pole last night?
Congrats to Harvard and the bean pole.
Yes. We've got Ryan and Bill Ricker. Ryan, what'd you think of Brad Marchand?
What's up, boys? Listen, Michael, we came out in the first period, balls to the wall, looking great. And then they got complacent in the second period and then blew the lead. And I got a question for you guys, and I'm not making excuses for Marchand's action. But do you think he feels like he has to be the tough guy because they don't have another tough guy on the team? Do you think he feels obligated to stick up for everybody?
Maybe.
I just think he's a nut. I think some guys are just wired differently. He's one of those dudes.
I'm with Murray. The history's too long with this guy. He's been suspended, what, 7 times? Fined another 5?
The most suspended or sanctioned player in the league, yes.
I mean, he's lost $1 million over his career in fine and suspension money. $1 million, just under it, $970,000 or something. The number's obscene. There's no excuse for it. What I was about to say a minute ago was what Murray was talking about, with the caller, and Shukri said something about the leadership group. That's kind of scary when you think about it. Chara's gone. Bergeron's going. Okay, Rask, if you whether or not you
gone.
Like him, gone. Krejci, gone. Did I say Krejci already?
No.
Okay, like you're going, these guys are all gone. Who's left to lead? McAvoy still feels like a kid in some ways, but in theory it would be his team. Marchand, Pasternak, those guys aren't leaders. You know, certainly not a Marchand should be.
Marchand is. He should be.
Okay, Taylor Hall?
No way. No shot.
Drifter?
No way.
So, like, but when Marchand pulls the crap that he does last night, how can he be your leader?
Seriously. That's the story. In that spot, too, with Bergeron already down. Joe and Melrose, your thoughts?
Hey, guys. Well, the Bruins are in trouble. They lost the first line. I mean, it looked like Bergeron got a bad concussion. And Marchand acts like he's on the fourth line goon. I mean, he was doing the thing with Crosby's stick, and then he was, like, messing with the goalie. And then, like, the Bruins came out, like, on fire in the first period. They should have been up 4-0. And Pittsburgh was lucky to survive the onslaught. And then, like, he just freaked out at the end. I've never seen anyone freak out like that. He needs, like, therapy. I mean, like,
he needs help. Yep, he needs help. I thought he got it. I thought he was doing it. I thought he got it after he licked the dude's face in Tampa. Which was, like, I thought, sort of like a low point. You hit Murray when you drink too much, and you hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
That was rock bottom for Marchand, I thought. And then he was good. He was good for over a year. And this year it's crept back in. He was suspended, and I feel like he just feels sort of that stuff creeping back into his game.
Not creeping. Has crept.
Oh, my God.
It's twice this year now.
90 seconds, no commercials. Just an update from Big Jim Murray. Again, our 2 p.m. sponsor here on Radio Row is Prop Swap. Felgramaz here at Super Bowl 56, brought to you by your New England Honda dealers and Safety Insurance. Oh, I mentioned this contest. Listen to this. Visit the Sports Hub contest page at 98.5thesportshub.com until February 20th, okay, 2 weeks, and enter for a chance to win a trip for two to Florida for the Players Championship. Is that the TPC? Is that what that's called?
Yes.
Okay. For the Players Championship, March 9th through the 14th, this prize includes daily tournament passes, a five-night stay, 5 nights, at the DoubleTree Hilton, Jacksonville Riverfront.
You and Murray would never make it.
Flights, a rental car, and a router. golf at Hidden Hills Golf Club. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah. I did. Yeah, it's a good deal.
It's no joke.
And that TPC is the island, you know, Sawgrass, the island 17th green, the famous green.
Okay, so go to 985thesportsup.com for contest details and win that fabulous prize. All thanks to Florida's First Coast to Golf and Visit Florida. Again, no commercials here, just the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.